Chapter number 10, Hebrews chapter number 10. The Bible says in verse 24, "And let us consider one another to provoke." That word provoke means to encourage, to exhort. Doesn't mean, you know, like some of you do your wife, you know, provoke her. That's not what it's talking about, amen. It's talking about exhorting, encouraging. Provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And right there, I know some of you thought, uh-oh, Brother David's going to preach on being faithful to church this morning. I just know it. When you read, when Nick opened to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, some of you thought, Brother David's going, he's going to preach on being faithful to church this morning. I'm actually not, but while we're right here, I'm going to put a plug in, amen. Hey, I think you ought to be faithful to church. Amen. I mean it. I am for the church. I was thinking about it when I was preparing this message, and almost every time, and my message isn't about that, but every time I'd read this verse of scripture in my study, I couldn't get past it without thinking, I got to say something about that. I think if you're saved by the grace of God, and you're a child of God, and you're a member of a New Testament church, especially this one, if you're not a member of a church, I think you ought to be, but if you're a member of a church, you ought not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, amen? You ought to be in church, amen? You ought not be at the ball field. You ought not be at the family reunion. You ought not be at the lake or at the pool. You ought not be on your couch. Amen. You ought to be in the house of God when the doors are open, when the people are assembling together. Hey, in Hebrews, evidently in Hebrews, they were struggling with people staying home from church, right? He said, not assembling the forsaken of ourselves together as the manner of some is. He said, there's already some people back just years after Christ had left his earthly ministry. There was already folks laying out of church, but the writer of Hebrews said, hey, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And he meant it then, and he means it now. You ought to be in church when the doors are open, amen? Just want to put that little plug in there. I'm for the church, amen? Ought to be in church. And so much the more, he said, as you see the day approaching. And I want to preach to you about that this morning. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Exhorting one another. Hard to exhort somebody if you ain't here, amen? He'd say, you got to be there if you're going to exhort them. But it says exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm not exactly sure which day the writer of Hebrews was speaking of. I believe he was speaking of the day of the coming of the Lord, amen? And I'm not going to spend much time this morning trying to convince you that we're close to that day. I believe that it wouldn't take much convincing to get you to believe that. I mean, all you got to do is turn on the TV, amen? You turn on the TV and you look at what's going on in our world today, and it's easy to see that we're getting close to that day, right? Have you seen what's going on in Israel? I'm talking about we're getting close to that day. The Bible says in the last days, they're going to be drunk over that Temple Mount. I mean, it's going to be like a drunk man wanting control of that Temple Mount. You know, they're fighting over it right now. Right as we speak, there's a battle going on in Israel over the Temple Mount. Right? 20 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago when I got saved, there would have been people that would have said, oh, so there's going to be a one world ruler. He's going to rule the world. He's going to give his commands and everybody's going to listen and how that's going to happen. And I just don't see it. Can I tell you this? I was in Honduras 2 years ago and some of you were there and we were in the mountains of Honduras on the border of Nicaragua. I'm talking about people were walking around barefooted, okay? No running water, dirt floors, huts, with cell phones, right? It's real. There's people, brother shoemakers in Africa, in Burkina Faso, said it's nothing out in the villages to see somebody with a cell phone. See, that day's coming. I don't know. Maybe the Antichrist is going to send out a tweet, right? We hear a lot about tweets, right? I don't know. Facebook message? I don't know. I know we're getting there. We're getting close to the point where one man could rule the world. That day is approaching, okay? The Bible says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves, right? We're living in that day. And I'm not going to continue to try to convince you of that because I don't believe that I need to. I believe everybody in this building that is alert, that understands, realizes we are living in that day that he was speaking of. And he said, in that day, hey, you're not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And this is why, because you're going to need some exhortation. You need to be exhorting one another. You need to be encouraging one another. That's what that word exhort means. It means to encourage. It means to build up. It means to comfort, right? And we're going to need that in these last days. And so with that thought in mind, I want to preach a message to you this morning out of the book of Acts. So that was just kind of a springboard. I want you to turn to Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. Our young people know that I'm going to be speaking today on one of my favorite Bible characters. A couple years ago, I did a study on this Bible character by the name of Barnabas, right? And I was encouraged by that study. His name actually means the son of consolation, right? That word consolation means encouragement. It means comfort, right? Console someone is to encourage them, to comfort them. That word consolation there, and that word provoke in Hebrews 10:24, and that word exhort one another in Hebrews 10:25, they all come from the same root word in the Greek language, and that's parakleto. That's that comforter. That's kind of what we call the Holy Spirit. It's that exhorter, that encourager in our lives. That's what Barnabas' name stands for. And can I tell you this morning, Barnabas has been an encouragement to me. See, I'm encouraged by many things in his life, and we're going to find out some of those this morning. But one thing that encourages me about Barnabas, and I want you to get this morning, is this. You know what? Barnabas isn't really the out front kind of guy. A lot of people, if I were to ask you this morning, what can you tell me about Barnabas? There would be many that maybe could not tell me anything. You say, oh, well, I know that he was a helper to Paul, right? Barnabas was much more than a helper to Paul, okay? And we're going to find out that this morning. But what encourages me about this man Barnabas is, Barnabas isn't the out front kind of guy. He's not the Apostle Paul, but guess what? God used him in a great way. And you don't have to be the preacher for God to use you in a great way. You don't have to be up here singing for God to use you in a great way. We don't have to have a great big church for God to use us in a great way. You understand what I'm saying? God can use anybody that will be willing to let him use them. That encourages me. Amen. And Barnabas was that kind of guy. Barnabas was the kind of guy that just encourages me. I hope he'll be an encouragement to you. So we're going to look at his life this morning, and we're going to see some things that I believe will help us to be a Barnabas. I've been praying that this morning somebody would leave this building and decide, I want to be a Barnabas. Brother David, you know what the junior class needs? It needs a Barnabas. I need a fly swatter. Amen. You know what our youth group needs? It needs a Barnabas. You know what our church needs? It needs some people that are willing to be a Barnabas. Our homes need some Barnabases. Some people that will encourage you. Some people that will exhort you. Some people that will comfort you. We need some people that will say, hey, I'm going to be a Barnabas. I want to be a Barnabas. And I hope you do too. And we'll see why here in just a minute. I want you to look at Acts chapter number 4. Look in verse number 36 and we'll see the first point. How we can be a Barnabas. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 35 we'll see. It says, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And verse 36 says, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. This is the first time we meet this man named Barnabas. The Bible says that his name was Joseph, but the disciples surnamed him Barnabas. They gave him a nickname, right? They gave him a nickname because of how he lived. How many of you knew somebody growing up that had a nickname because of how they lived? Anybody like that? I had a friend that, I don't think he's listening, but I had a friend, they used to call him Flash, and it was because he was real slow, amen? That's right. But I had many friends that had nicknames because of their looks or their
character or something about them. And I'm losing my train of thought because I'm looking up here at Brother Allen and I want to tell you what I nicknamed him, but I'm not going to this morning. Amen. All right. Anyway, but hey, so some people have nicknames because of who they are, right? And I believe that's where they got this name from. They surnamed him Barnabas because he was always encouraging people. And we're going to see that this morning, okay? And so I don't know about you, but I want to be a Barnabas. I want to be an encourager. In this day where so many are downcast and so many are put out, hey, we need some people that will say, I'm going to be a Barnabas. I'm going to encourage somebody. I'm going to exhort somebody. I'm going to build somebody up. Amen? And Barnabas was that kind of guy. Number one, he was that kind of guy because he was a contributor. You see in verse number 37? Verse 37 says, having lay and sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. See, the church was on fire in Acts chapter 2 and 3 and 4. I mean, they were growing and they were being persecuted. All kinds of things were happening and people were given. But the Bible wants us to know something about it. It says right before that a lot of the people were given. But then it says, and Barnabas, let me tell you about this one guy that really gave. He sold what he had and he brought it and he put it at the apostles' feet and he just contributed to what was going on. Can I tell you, hey, you want to be a Barnabas? Learn what it is to contribute. Barnabas was a contributor. He gave a sacrificial contribution to the work of God. Now, I'm not preaching on giving this morning. I thought maybe this morning was going to have something about the thermometer. But we're trying to pay this building off by the end of this year. We want to have a mortgage burn December 31st. You know how that's going to happen? The church is going to get filled up with some Barnabases. Some people that say, you know what, I see what's happening at the church and I want to get involved. I want to contribute. Amen? Amen. We need a Barnabas to say, hey, I want to get in. I want to get involved. Can I tell you how this building got painted Friday and Saturday? Some people were Barnabases. They contributed. They came out and they gave their time. It's not just about money. You can give more than money. You can contribute your time. You can contribute your energy. You can contribute in many ways. But if you're going to be a Barnabas, if you're going to encourage somebody, you're going to have to learn what it is to contribute, to give, to get involved. Some folks got up this morning and got on a bus before some folks were even out of the bed. You say, why? Because they want to contribute. They want to give. They want to give of their time, of their energy. They want to help out the cause. They want to exhort somebody and encourage somebody in this dark day. So a Barnabas is one that understands what it is to contribute. I'm thankful for the contributors that I've met through the years in church. Amen. The Barnabases, the people that give their time to the bus ministry, to missions, to soul winning, to build the church, to cutting the grass, to cleaning the building, to keeping the nursery. I'm talking about people that are willing to contribute. It helps us. Amen. It's encouraging. You want to be a Barnabas? Learn what it is to contribute. Don't just sit there with your hands out saying, what can I do to get in? Amen. So many people are missing the Christian life because they're sitting there saying, bless me, instead of saying, hey, how can I be a blessing? Amen. You haven't really even began to live the Christian life until you start blessing instead of getting blessed. One of the greatest weeks at Fellowship Baptist Church, let me just throw a plug in right here. One of the greatest weeks at Fellowship Baptist Church is Vacation Bible School. Can I get amen? You want to know why? Because there's a lot of Barnabases running around that week. Everybody, I want to get involved. I want to help out. We get more people at Bible school sometimes than we can at church on a Sunday morning. It's amazing. 5 nights a week. I mean, they come out. It's hot. It's 100 degrees. I mean, calling for storms, and the building's full. Because they're getting a blessing from giving back, from contributing. And I thank God for the people that I've met through the years that are willing to contribute. That's what Barnabas was. He was a contributor. Number two, not only was he a contributor, but Barnabas was a man that cared. Look in Acts chapter number 9. Go to Acts chapter 9. These are in no certain order. I kind of just went through the book of Acts, and so they're just kind of in order through the book here. Acts chapter 9. I want us to see this about this man, Barnabas. I'm talking about being an encourager this morning, right? Being a Barnabas. Acts chapter 9, verse 27, it says, well, verse 26 says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple, but Barnabas. You see that? But Barnabas. Let me give you a little bit of backdrop here. You know, Saul, we know who we're talking about here, the Apostle Paul. He later became the Apostle Paul. Well, in Acts chapter 8, if you read this guy, Saul, you know what he was doing? The Bible says in verse number 3 that he was going into people's houses wreaking havoc on the church. He was standing there when they stoned Stephen to death. Okay? I really think sometimes, young people, listen up this morning, please. Hey, I think sometimes we don't really get it the way God wants us to. This man, Saul, let me kind of bring it up to today. ISIS, right? That's Saul. You say, really, Brother David? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Radical. A religious zealot. And these people coming up saying they're Christians, he didn't like it. It went against his religion. So he said, we got to do away with these people. Started going into their houses and dragging them away from their families, putting them in prison, stoning them to death. You understand what I'm talking about? We're talking about a guy, and he was doing it in the name of religion. We're talking about a bad man, right? Well, he gets saved on the road to Damascus. You can read about it here in the book of Acts right before this chapter, chapter 9. He gets saved and he comes to the Christians. And the Bible says, look in verse number, it says number 26. I just read it to you. When Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to come join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. They said, oh, I don't know. I heard about you. You're that guy that, you know, was going into houses and dragging people out of their homes. You're that guy that was there when they stoned Stephen to death. And they were scared, and rightfully so. But this man Barnabas, he came along, and the Bible says, but Barnabas. Barnabas came along, and the Bible says Barnabas took him in verse number 27 and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and how he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. You see, Barnabas was the kind of guy, he said, man, hey, I'm going to give him a chance. I'm going to care for him. I'm going to love on him. I'm going to support him. I'm going to help him, right? Hey, let's be a Barnabas. When somebody comes in here that may not look like us, may not act like us, may not talk like us, may not dress like us, hey, you never know when it's the Apostle Paul, right? And so what we need to do is, instead of looking at them and saying, oh, I don't know if they really got it. I don't know if they're really saved. I don't know if they're just trying to get some money. I don't know if they're just trying to get their family put back together. Can I tell you, I've been guilty of it, okay? I'm going to confess to you this morning, I've been guilty of it. I've seen people come to church and come in here and come down to the altar and say they got saved and thought, oh, I don't know if it's really going to happen or not. That's not Barnabas. Barnabas said, no, hey, I'm going to care about this guy, Paul. I'm going to go help him. I'm going to go take him to the disciples. And he took him and he brought him. Hey, we need some Barnabases in our church. When people come into this place, there ought to be somebody that cares enough to go over to them, even if they're not from where we're from, even if they don't talk like we talk, even if they don't look like we look. Somebody ought to go to them and say, hey, let me take you over here. Wouldn't God, we get a young person in our youth group that when somebody new comes into Sunday school or rides on the bus or comes on a youth trip, we'll go to them and say, hey, let me take you and introduce you to some of my friends. Let me talk to you and get you to know some people. Let me introduce you to the pastor, to the youth pastor, to the Sunday school teacher. Hey, we need some Barnabases that instead of looking their nose down at other people, say, hey, I'm going to help you. Yeah. Amen. Barnabas was that kind of guy. He cared. Barnabas cared. We need some people that'll care. I wish he was here this morning. I thought about Paul. Amen. I led Paul to the Lord the morning Paul come down and got saved. We got our own Paul here, right? Paul come down and got saved. And I told Paul this. After he got saved, I said, man, I just didn't know. You just never know. You know, I went back there and we prayed and I didn't know. I might not never see Paul again. Hey, this might be the first Sunday since Paul's been saved I haven't seen him. Amen. And he's on vacation. But you just never know. Somebody's got to come along and say, hey, I'm going to take you and I'm going to introduce you to some people. Somebody's got to be a Barnabas. Barnabas was a man that cared. Barnabas was a man that cultivated. You see here in Acts chapter number 9 and verse 27, he took Paul. He said, hey, let me introduce you to some guys. He wanted to see Paul grow. He took him and brought him and he introduced him and he got him involved. He didn't just care for him. He wanted to cultivate him. That word cultivate means to improve or to advance growth of. Barnabas was interested in seeing people grow. Are you interested in seeing people grow? When was the last time you saw a new Christian or a new convert or a new face in the church and you came to them and you said, "Hey, I want to help you. I want to disciple you. I want to teach you. I want to get you involved. I want to cultivate you." Amen. That's who Barnabas was. Turn over to Acts chapter number 11. We'll see more of this where Barnabas was, not only was he caring, but he was cultivating. Acts chapter number 11. Verse number 23 says this. Acts chapter 11, verse 23 says, well, verse 21 says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch." You see who they sent? Some people got saved and were getting serious. It says, and you know, that the hand of the Lord is with them. A great number believed and turned unto the Lord, and they said, "Hey, I know the man to send. Get Barnabas." Right? It says they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Barnabas wanted to see him grow. He was excited about the fact that some people had gotten saved when he saw the grace of God. Are you excited when people get saved? I mean it. Are you really excited when somebody gets saved? You see the grace of God in somebody's life and you just want to help them. That's who Barnabas was. He said, "Hey guys, hey, cleave unto the Lord. You can walk with him. You can talk with him. You can get to know him." He was just that kind of guy. The Bible says he exhorted them. He challenged them. Not only was Barnabas a man that cultivated, Barnabas was a man that challenged. He challenged them. He said, "Hey, cleave unto the Lord." You want to be a Barnabas? Learn to challenge some people. Amen. But to God, we get back to where some people was willing to challenge some people. "Hey, won't you go soul winning with me Saturday? Hey, why don't we go make a visit together? Hey, why don't we memorize some scripture? Hey, why don't we do this? How do we do that? How about you challenge somebody?" Thank God for the Barnabases that are willing to challenge somebody. I'm glad for some Barnabases in my life that when I got saved by the grace of God, came along and challenged me. Said, "You can do more, Brother David. You can get serious about God, Brother David." I'm just fed up. I don't know about you, but I'm just fed up to hear with the fact that people pick up a ball and oh man, people get in their face and challenge them. "Oh, you can be so good at ball. You can be so good at sports. You can be so good at this. You can be so good at that." Whatever happened to the day where somebody, hey, got in somebody's face and challenged them and said, "Hey, you can do something for God." Amen. Young people, you can do something for God. I want to be a Barnabas in your life that challenges you. It says, you know what? You can do something big for God. Amen. We need some Barnabases. We need some young people in our youth group and in our junior class, Brother David, that when they go to camp and they get on fire for God and they come back and somebody wants to cut up and somebody wants to say something dirty and somebody wants to do something bad, there's a young person that's got enough backbone, boy or girl, that'll stand up and challenge them and say, "No, not in this youth group. Not going to talk like that around here." Right? We don't do that around here. Do I need to go tell Brother David? Do I need to go tell Brother Calvin? Do I need to go tell Brother Allen? You say, "Oh, that's a tattletale." No, that's somebody that's willing to challenge somebody. That's a Barnabas. Says, "Hey, that's not happening around here." Wish we'd get some young people serious and really wanting to challenge somebody to live for God. Amen? A Barnabas, he was a man that challenged people. Not only that, he was a man of character. Look in verse number 24. The Bible says in verse number 24, "For he was a good man." Amen? He was a good man. I'm not going to say much about that, but I'm saying this, he was a man of character. You want to be a Barnabas? Be good. I love it when our pastor says, he quotes, I believe it's Bob Jones Sr. He says, "Be good. Be good," or "do right, do right. Though the stars fall, do right." That's character. Character's doing right when mom and dad's not around. Character's doing right when the Sunday school teacher's not around. Character's doing right when nobody's around. That's character. That's the kind of man Barnabas was. He was a good man. A man of character. Somebody that lived out his Christian life. People on the job ought to be able to look at us and say, "That's a good man. That's a good woman." Oh no, not perfect. I didn't say that. Good.
Somebody with some character. Somebody that's not cheating and lying and stealing from their boss, right? Somebody that's not trying to cheat in school, right? Somebody that's not talking behind other people's back. A good man, a good woman. Somebody of character. That's who Barnabas was. I'm talking about being a Barnabas this morning. He was a man of character. Not only that, he was a man that was controlled. Look at verse number 24. It says he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost. No doubt one of the reasons that Barnabas was the man that he was is right here. He was a man that was controlled by the Holy Ghost. He wasn't controlled by money. He wasn't controlled by his flesh. He wasn't controlled by his desires. He was controlled by the Holy Ghost of God. Hey, you want to be a Barnabas? I want to be a Barnabas. We need to learn what it is to be controlled by the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. It can't be emphasized enough. Learn what it is to yield to the Spirit of God in your life and be controlled by that Spirit. That was Barnabas. He was a man that was controlled. He was a man that was confrontational. Am I getting some ringing? He was a man that was confrontational. Look in Acts chapter 11. Look in chapter 11. Look at verse number 24. It says in verse 24, "For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added to the Lord." He was winning people to Jesus. Amen? He was confrontational. Look in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Verse 5 says, "And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews." And that's talking about Barnabas and Paul. In Acts chapter 13, in verse number 46, it says, "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said," you see what I'm saying? They were preaching the word of God. Acts chapter number 14, verse number 21 says, Acts chapter 14, 21 says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many," talking about Paul and Barnabas. See, Barnabas was a man that was willing to confront people about their soul. You want to be a Barnabas? You have to learn what it is to be confrontational. And I'm not talking about going out in the parking lot and slugging it out, right? That's not the confrontation I'm talking about. I'm talking about willing to confront somebody about their soul, right? Willing to confront somebody about their sin. Willing to confront somebody about their situation. I was saying this week, and I say it a lot, and I hope I say it to the day I die. I was telling my coworker this week, Brother Calvin, I was telling him, man, I said, I was witnessing to him and talking to him, and we got to talking, and I started telling him about when I got saved, and it happens to me a lot. It's probably happened to some of you when I was talking to you. I got to telling him about the night I got saved, and I said, man, I said, I'm so glad. I said, I just can't say enough how glad I am that somebody was willing to confront me about my soul. I mean it. I stood there on the job, cried, Brother Calvin, right there in front of him. He probably thought, what in the world? I said, if Brother Calvin hadn't called me that night, I was sitting in my driveway, lost, on my way to hell, fighting the Holy Ghost of God with everything that was in me, and my phone rang, and a man confronted me about my soul. And I told him, I said, man, if he wouldn't have confronted me, I don't have a clue where I'd be today. I mean, God just got on me this week at work. I thought, man, my family, my wife, my four kids, my church, the ministry, the young people, the youth trips, all that I've had happen to me over the past 12 years was because a man was willing to confront me. That's Barnabas. Are you that kind of person? Am I that kind of person? Are we willing to be confrontational with people? They don't want to hear it, okay? I didn't that night. I was running from it. But I needed to hear it. Somebody's got to be willing to confront people about their soul. And be a Barnabas. Some people's got to be willing to confront somebody about their sin. I'm thankful for the Barnabases in my life that have come to me and said, hey, Brother David, that's not right. You shouldn't do that. If somebody's confronted you recently about something in your life, you might ought to stop and thank God for them. They might be a Barnabas.
say, no, they're nosy. No, they might be Barnabas. God might have sent them to your house, sent them to your door, put them on your phone to be a Barnabas in your life and to confront you about something that needed to change. One day you'll look back, and I guarantee you, we'll go around this auditorium this morning, and there's a lot of people that say, man, I thank God for the Barnabas that confronted me.
That's right.
I was messing up.
Amen.
Man, I was on my way down, and God sent a Barnabas by, and he confronted me in love. I'm not talking about, you know, beating them down. I'm talking about telling them, hey, I love you. And because I do, I'm going to confront you. That's Barnabas. That's what I want to be. I want to be a Barnabas. I want to be confrontational about souls, about sin, about situations. I want to be willing to confront people. Not only that, Barnabas was a man in communion. Acts chapter number 13, verse number 2 says, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. It says they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Acts chapter 14, verse 23 says, and when they had prayed with fasting, Barnabas not only was a man that was confrontational, but Barnabas was a man that was in communion. He understood what it was to fast and pray. Now, I'm slowing down a little bit here, but this is where I wanted to get with my message. I'm a little worried about, you know, people saying, I want you to know this morning, listen up, I want you to know this morning, if Brother David sends you a text or calls you on the phone or walks up to you at church and says, hey, I'm praying for you, I mean it. I do not want to be one of these Facebook prayer warriors. And if you are, I'm sorry, but praying, really? Really? Man, if some people was praying as much as they say they are, they wouldn't have time to do nothing else. I mean, praying. And maybe you are. I hope you are. But I'm not going to be that person. If you get a text from Brother David one morning and he says, I'm praying for you, or I prayed for you, I did. Okay? I just don't want to say those words. I want to do it. And I hope you do too. I'm not minimizing. Maybe some people got a lot more time than I do. And maybe they are praying. Maybe they do pray. I see situations on social media and I try to pray for them. I try not to keep scrolling. I try to stop and pray right then. And if I tell that person I prayed, I'm going to pray. Sometimes somebody asks me to pray for them and I say, I'll pray for them. You know what I do? As soon as they walk away, I stop what I'm doing and I pray for them because I know if I don't, I won't. And I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to tell somebody I'm praying for you and ain't even uttered their name in a prayer. That's lying, right? That's not character, okay? But Barnabas was a man that understood fasting and praying. There is nothing more encouraging than knowing somebody's praying for you. Amen? I don't know about you, but that means something to me. Meredith laughs all the time. My son prays for me. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's one of the most encouraging things in my life. I mean it, man. When my son prays for me, I mean, it just does something for me because I know he means it. This morning I asked him, did you pray for breakfast, buddy? He said, yeah, Daddy, and I prayed for you too. I said, amen. That's Barnabas right there. I got encouraged, amen. That encouraged me. I'm thankful for the people that pray for me, amen. Some of you do, and I appreciate it. I don't take it lightly. And I pray for you. And we ought to pray for one another. That's Barnabas stuff right there. Person that understands what it is to fast and pray. When was the last time you fasted and prayed for somebody? When was the last time I fasted and prayed for somebody? I mean, they had a situation in their life and they needed something serious. And you said, you know what? I'm going to go without and I'm going to get alone with God on their behalf. That's Barnabas. Amen. He was a man that fasted and prayed. He was a man in communion. Not only that, he was a man that was consecrated. I'm going to hurry up. Acts chapter 13, verse 2 says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. He was a consecrated man. God had separated him to the work that he had called him to do. We won't be a Barnabas. We're going to have to learn what it is to be separated, to be set apart. We're God's children. We're not of this world. We're not to be like this world. We're to be set apart. We're to be different than this world. That's who Barnabas was. He was consecrated. He was set apart for the work of God. Not only was he consecrated, but he was committed. Look at Acts chapter 13. This is one of my favorite points of the whole message. And I'm almost done. I've only got two more. Barnabas was committed. He was consistent. Acts chapter 13, verse number 50 says this. Acts chapter 13, 50 says, "But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium." Look over in Acts chapter number 14. Acts chapter 14 in verse number 19 says, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe." You see, Barnabas was the kind of guy that was committed. He didn't quit when they started talking bad about him. He didn't quit when persecution started coming against him. He didn't quit when Paul got stoned and left for dead outside of Lystra. No, Barnabas was right there and said, "Paul, hey, I'll go with you, buddy. Let's get back up and let's keep going for God." He wasn't a quitter. He was committed. You want to be a Barnabas? Learn what it is to not quit. Keep on going for God. That'll encourage somebody. I'm talking about being a Barnabas and being an encouraged somebody. You know what encourages me? It encourages me to know that there's people in this building this morning that have fought disease, they fought sickness, they fought cancer, but they kept on going, amen? There's people in here this morning that have fought financial problems, marital problems, children problems. I mean, they fought church problems. They fought all kinds of problems in their life, but you know what? They just keep going. That encourages me, amen? They're committed, they're consistent. They shake it off and keep on going, amen? That's a Barnabas. This guy Barnabas, I'm telling you right now, he was a hero of the faith. He didn't quit because somebody offended him. He didn't quit because somebody sat in his seat, right? He didn't quit because the preacher didn't recognize him. He didn't quit even when bad things happened. He kept on going for God. He was consistent. He was committed. Not only that, he was compassionate. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, verse number 36. Y'all know how I like to alliterate, so I tell you, I put compassionate, but also had, he was a man that believed in chances, right? Acts chapter 15, I want you to see something. Acts chapter 15, it says this. In verse 36, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia confirming the churches." You say, what's that mean, Brother David? Well, I'll tell you this. I don't know. There's different opinions about what happened right here, but Barnabas and Paul, two good men, two godly men, had some contention over John Mark because he had walked out on them when they were serving God. When the heat got heavy, he turned back, right? And Paul said, hey, we can't take him with us. And Barnabas said, no, we're going to take him with us. And it got so sharp that those two split ways. And some people say, well, Barnabas made the wrong decision, because after this point in the book of Acts, you never see Barnabas again in the book of Acts, but it tells all about Paul. I'm not of that persuasion. I don't believe that Barnabas made a wrong decision here. I believe Barnabas took another direction here. You see, Barnabas was a man of compassion, a man that believed in chances, second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances. I got to say this morning, Pastor, I was thinking about this when I was preparing, and there ain't nobody I've ever met more like Barnabas than you when it comes to this. I mean that. I've known our pastor for 12 years. He's a Barnabas. He just keeps giving chances. When a lot of people say, nah, I'm done with them. God's done with them. Our pastor's not done with them. I appreciate that, Pastor. That's a Barnabas right there. We need some Barnabases in our life, because you know what? We're all going to mess up. We're all going to need another chance. And when you do, you need a Barnabas that's going to come along and say, hey, man, God's not done with you. God can still use you. There's people in this building this morning. You're here because Barnabas gave you another chance. Amen. The world was done with you. Some church people probably were done with you. But there was a Barnabas that come along and said, hey, I'm not done with you. I'll help you. You say, how do you know he helped him? Well, if you read over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, most of you know this. You read over 2 Timothy chapter 4, you know what happened? Paul's getting ready to die, and he's writing to a younger preacher, Timothy, and he tells Timothy, he says, hey, Timothy, only Luke is with me, but when you come, will you bring Mark? He's profitable to me. Amen. In the ministry. Paul said, man, Barnabas got him all right. He helped him. Made something of him. And he's profitable now to me in the ministry. Why? Because there was a Barnabas in his life. That's why. I thank God for the Barnabases in my life. I want to be a Barnabas. I don't want to be somebody that when somebody messes up, I say, oh, well, they're done. Write them off. God can't use them. Now, I want to be a Barnabas and say, they come back and they say, hey, I'm sorry, and I want to get my life straight. I want to say, come on, I'm going to help you every way I can. I'm going to be a Barnabas in your life. Amen? I hope you want to be a Barnabas. This is my last point, and I'm done. I believe this is probably the most important point, and it's the reason for all the other points. Barnabas was a contributor. He cared. He cultivated. He challenged. He had character. He was controlled. He was confrontational. He was in communion. He was consecrated. He was committed. He was consistent. He was compassionate. And all of this because of this. He was converted. He was changed. I guarantee you Barnabas wasn't always this way, and neither were you. And neither was I. But somewhere along life's path, Barnabas met Jesus. And it changed his life forever. Amen. He got converted. Can I ask you this morning, are you converted? Have you ever been saved? Have you ever been changed? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, we'll never be the kind of Barnabas that we want to be if we've never been changed. We've got to be saved. We've got to have the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside so that then we can go and be a Barnabas and encourage and exhort others that they might do the same. Amen? The Bible says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now more than ever, we need some Barnabases in our churches. I mean that I hope today somebody will leave this place and say, I want to be a Barnabas. I want to help somebody. I want to encourage somebody. I want to exhort somebody. We need some Barnabases. Young people, be a Barnabas. Encourage somebody. Help somebody. Exhort somebody. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We'll have a word of prayer. The